Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
All right, let's go into the Word of God this morning. We began a series last Sunday called the Fruit of the Spirit series, and tonight, or today, it is today, yeah, it's today, we're in part two, your inheritance is at stake. And Lord, help me now, as I already trust you to do so, to present your Word in a way that people will be in awe of you and in wonder of your great love for us. Jesus said in John 15:6, he said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." That ought to make you feel good right now. He chose you, and he appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That he chose you. Wow. Chose you. He anointed you. He appointed you. He has a place for you. There are places to go, people to meet, things for you to do that you have no idea that God is just waiting for the opportunity for you to be ready to recognize the fruit that you're going to bear is going to be supernatural. People are going to look at you and say, "How are you able to do that with the small amount that you had? How were you able to accomplish that? How did that miracle happen?" People are going to look at you and wonder, and they should wonder, at the fruit that's going to come from your life and a fruit that's going to remain. You've been chosen. And as a result of your walk with God, as a result of your day-to-day, your union with Jesus, there's going to be supernatural fruit. This is not something you can manufacture. Supernatural fruit that's going to come out of your life because of your union with Jesus. What is this fruit God is looking for from us ought to be your question. We learn on Wednesday nights in Bible study that God's primary purpose for us from the very beginning of time, he made it clear what his intention was. His intention was that we would be created in his image and bear his likeness in the earth. He made that very clear at the beginning of Genesis. That's what his plan was. So he wants us to bear his image. He wants us to be in his likeness, Ron. He wants us to show the world we have Jesus in it. Jesus is alive. He wants the world to see Jesus is alive and he's in you. The same Jesus that walked on the earth 2,000 years. He's alive and he's in you. God's primary purpose is to make man in his own image and in his own likeness. God is a spirit. The fruit is God's likeness in us, in every circumstance, in every trial. The Bible says in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh or the strong desires of your flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, in opposition to one another, so that you don't do the things that you would please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, carousing, partying, and the like. And then he goes on to say, it should be next slide. Hang up there with me. I warn you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at the last part of that. He says, I've warned you. He's talking to Christians. That those who do those such things shall not what? Say it loud. Shall not? The kingdom of God. Okay. God gives us the freedom to choose in this life, especially after we're saved. We have actually more freedom to choose. God's given us freedom of choice. Now that we're born of the Spirit of God, we've been born from above by God, and we have His Spirit in us, and we become a new creation in Christ, we still get the freedom to choose. You can walk in the Spirit, or you can do the works of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not live as though the physical world is all there is. A walk in the Spirit is so contrary to someone who just thinks that what you see is all there is so radically different that people will begin to notice that you're different. Because you know there's more to this world than just the five physical senses, what you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and feel, all that kind of stuff. Your life will prove there's more to this life than what you can see. A lot of people in the world, those who are not saved, they think this is all there is. When you die, you die. There's nothing else. You know, you got inside information. There's more to life than what you can see. The Bible goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit, come on, say it with me, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice, against such there is no law. Now, there are two kingdoms in this world. Jesus made that clear. You're born into one kingdom physically, and Jesus said that the prince of the power of the air rules over this world. And so there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world is dominated by the prince of the power of the air. And we know from the Bible that this world that we're in currently, in the natural state it is passing away. It's decaying. And this world is filled with death. Jesus, or the Word of God says, don't love this world. It doesn't mean the beauty of creation and things like that you can see, the flowers, the animals, the mountains, the beaches, and all that. It's not talking about that. It's talking about don't love the world's value system. Don't love the world's way of living as if this is all there is. Don't love the world, neither the things in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world here. And those things are passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So there's this one kingdom that you were born in the natural. But there's another kingdom that you became aware of when you were born again of the Spirit. It's called the kingdom of God. Now, we just read from Scripture, the kingdom of God is to be inherited. Everybody say inherited. You have an inheritance you may not be aware of. The kingdom of God is to be inherited after you're born of the Spirit of God, while you're here on earth. I'm not talking about going to heaven. That's part of your inheritance that Jesus bought and paid for. But there's an inheritance that you can have here and now and are supposed to be enjoying here now that will help you accelerate in this life. Help you live above the norm. Will help you prosper even in a famine. Will help you walk in divine healing and divine health. Will help your finances prosper. There's a kingdom called the kingdom of God. And when you're born again of the Spirit, you become aware of that. You may not understand it all. It may be mysterious to you. But now God wants your life, who's been born supernaturally of God, while you're here in this natural world, to be filled with the Spirit of God, Him and your spirit merging together, a newly created spirit, and out of your union with Christ, going through your trials, going through your difficulties, going through whatever issues you have here, your fruit that comes from abiding in Christ, letting Christ live his life through you now in the earth, out of that experience, fruit will come that is supernaturally of God, and people will look at you and ask you of the hope that lies within you. How are you able to do that? How did you accomplish that? How did you endure that? How are you dealing with this? And so we ought to ask some questions. A natural question would be, since Jesus said he's the vine, we're the branches, if you need to abide in me, what does it mean to abide in Christ? We should be asking these questions. And this abiding in Christ, very simply, is a living union with Jesus. You're born of the Spirit of God, but you also cooperate with the Holy Spirit. His life and your life mingled together, merged together, so that you live one life, not two lives, one life with him and he with you through your everyday circumstances. And abiding is that communion with Jesus that produces the nature of God as you walk in the Spirit here. Only one thing can stop the fruit of the Spirit from maturing and growing in your life as a born-again Christian. Only one thing, and that's not abiding. I'm not saying you get lost. I'm saying you're saved, but you could not be abiding. You're not in communion. You're not in fellowship. You're not the two walking together as one. You're existing. In fact, you might be quite miserable because you're not in alignment like you ought to be. And I want to say to you today, because I believe that this, I'm speaking by the Spirit to a lot of people here who've been wondering about how come my life's not producing any fruit? How come I'm not, maturing, and I don't see anything supernatural happening in my life and so forth. I want to say to you that you need to stop today and pay attention, because I believe the Lord is speaking and he's saying your inheritance is at stake. Your inheritance is at stake. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm saying your inheritance right now is at stake. We noted in Galatians 5 declared, if we choose to walk in the Spirit, if we choose to walk in the flesh rather than the Spirit, we will not inherit, everybody say inherit, the kingdom of God. If we choose, as believers, I'm not going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to walk in the flesh. The Bible was very clear, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Not talking about heaven, it's talking about the kingdom here and now. Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In the Greek, it's a lot more stronger than that. It says, thy kingdom come now. It's a declaration. Kingdom of God come now. Will of God be done now. So the kingdom is now. The kingdom of God that Jesus preached about, that he brought with him, is now. We are called joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs with Jesus. Not co-heirs. A co-heir would receive, you receive 50, I receive 50. A joint heir is, I receive 100%, you receive 100%. Are you with me? I'm going somewhere, so hang on. So we're not co-heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus. Now, your inheritance is what Jesus died on the cross for you to have. That's not just your name written in heaven going to heaven. That's wonderful. But you need something now. Your inheritance is something that you are to utilize now. And some of you are not claiming your inheritance. Your inheritance is, you're going to lose it. You're going to die and never experience your inheritance. Jesus died to give you his inheritance. Just before going to the cross, listen to this. Just before going to the cross, Jesus said things like this. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Remain or abide in whose love? Jesus' love. And he said, for you, hang on to it. Supernatural, powerful, stronghold breaking, devil busting, love of God. Your inheritance is the same powerful, self-sacrificing love of God that Jesus said. He came here and he says, now you abide in this. You hang on to this. Reach out your hand. Like you're taking it. Now he's saying to you, now you remain in this love. I'm giving it to you. You keep it. You abide in it. That's part of your inheritance. Another time he said in John 15:11, he said, I have spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Your inheritance here and now in this earth is the same joy that gave Jesus strength and power to be able to endure the cross. Don't tell me you don't have enough strength. Don't tell me you don't have enough power. Don't tell me you don't have the ability to go through this trial. Don't tell me you don't think you're going to make it through. If you're born again, you have his joy, and that joy enabled him to endure the cross for the joy that was set before him. That same joy is part of your inheritance right now. His love is part of your inheritance right now. His joy he gave to you. Not something you manufacture. Not something you fake. Not something you just try to put on. Not something you conjure up. This is supernatural. It comes from the Spirit of God and your spirit merged together as one spirit, supernaturally from the inside. You can call this up. This is your inheritance. It's for you right now because you need it now. You don't need it when you go to heaven. There's no problem there. You don't need it. You need it now. Another place Jesus said in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with who? Put your finger in front of you and he say, he's talking to you. That's who he's talking to, you and me. He says, my peace I give to you. And it's not the worldly kind of peace, you know, when you ain't got no problems, you got money in the bank and you got everything taken care of. No. This is supernatural. I'm giving you my kind of peace that enabled me to deal with Pharisees, deal with opposition, that deal with delays, to deal with trials, to deal with trouble, to deal with demonic things, to deal with miracles. I'm giving you this peace right now. It is the very same peace I use and operated on the earth, and I'm leaving it here with you. Come on, take it, would you? Here's my peace. Here's my love. Here's my joy. The same peace, not something you manufacture, not something you fake. It is Jesus' own peace. He said, I'm giving it to you because you're going to need it. When I'm gone from this earth, you're going to need this. And you can live a supernatural life because I called you to do even greater things than I'm going to do because I'm going to the Father. Now, an inheritance is something someone gives you after they die. An inheritance is something they give you after they die. Jesus already died. And he left you an inheritance. Everything that he had that enabled him to live supernaturally in this world and do miracles, signs, and wonders, everything he had, he says, I'm leaving it here with you. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you this big portion of your inheritance right now. I'm giving you the kingdom right now. It is yours right now. You don't earn it. You just simply believe and you receive it. I'm leaving it here because you need it. All the love, all the joy, all the peace, all the fruit of the Spirit are part of your inheritance to receive now. Now. In this life. And I know what you're thinking. You said, well, how come I don't see it manifested in my life? Well, we're going to address that. As a child of God, once you're born again, whatever age it was, for me, I was 19, and Pam was 18. And so we received Jesus in our life at 19 and 18. And we automatically, we didn't know this then, no one taught us this, automatically we were instantaneously joint heirs with Jesus. We didn't know it. We were joint heirs with everything he had, and he operated here in this life. He says, I'm giving it to you right now. I'm giving it to you. You own it. It's yours. And this is vital to grasp. So this inheritance, when someone gives you an inheritance, if you've been blessed to receive an inheritance, you know, land, houses, money, or whatever, from somebody who loved you, they left you in their will, they passed on, and they left you an inheritance. They gave you an inheritance for a reason. They gave you an inheritance so that you would be able to accelerate in life. You wouldn't have to start where they started. You don't have to start where they started. You get to start up here. Because someone loved you enough to say, I'm going to give you something so that you don't have to start down here and do what I had to do, and what I'm going to give you some inheritance right here, some land, some houses or whatever that you didn't work for, you didn't earn, but because I love you, I'm going to give you this inheritance. It's to accelerate your progress in life, because I don't want you starting down here and then maybe just getting to the same place spiritually where I got. No, I want you to start up here and then take it higher and higher and higher, you see. Because an inheritance is given to help you accelerate. To accelerate in this life. Accelerate your progress. Now, listen to me. If an inheritance is given to a minor in the natural world, then that minor is heir. I mean, legally. But usually, because the heir is a minor, it's given to a trustee. The trustee is in charge of the inheritance. It belongs to the minor. But this child is not mature enough yet to be able to handle the inheritance. And so the child is given a governor or a trustee until the child reaches a certain age of maturity. And at this place of maturity, then they're able to utilize their inheritance. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians 4:2. As long as the heir is a child, he doesn't differ from a servant, though he's the Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. God sees that what's happening in our natural world is the same way it happens in the spiritual world. You're given heir of all things. You are joint heir with Jesus the moment you were born again. But you weren't mature enough yet to be able to know how to access or even utilize what you had. You wouldn't give a little three-year-old a butcher knife and say, cut up that tomato over there. No, that'd be irresponsible. You wouldn't give a six-year-old the keys to your car and say, go down to the store and get me a gallon of milk. They're not mature enough. When we're born of the Spirit, we're like a little child. We're a baby. We need baby food. We have to grow. We have to mature in the things of the Lord. And we do that all of our earthly life here. So we're like a little child, but we're not able to, we've not matured enough to receive the power and the authority to reign as kings and queens. We're not able to do that yet. And so we're given a tutor, a mentor, a governor called the Holy Spirit, who will lead us into all truth. He'll teach you the baby food, and then from the baby food, you'll go of milk, and then the baby food, and then you go one day, you'll learn how to eat with a spoon and then a fork. You remember when you were a little kid, and you couldn't even find your mouth, you know, and You're just happy as a clam. And then eventually you got it in there. Hey! And then you're able to feed yourself, and then you're able to drink from a cup without spilling it all over the floor, driving your mother crazy. And you mature to the point you could feed yourself, you could dress yourself, you could wash yourself, you could take care of yourself, you could handle money, you could handle finances, and you proved faithful with things. And as you matured with things, when you were faithful to little things, you got a little bit more freedom. Little more freedom. Little more freedom because you're trusted with it. You've proven faithful. And now it goes on to say in Galatians 4, so when we were children, we were in bondage to the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, the old covenant. And He came to redeem those who were born under law. Notice that we might receive the placement as mature sons. Your Bible probably says adoption as sons. That's a very poor translation. And I don't have time to break down all the words to show you how poor translation that is. But many people read that in your Bible. It'll say right there, adoption. And that's a very poor translation. I can prove it to you. You can do a little Bible study on it and look up the words. Adoptions as sons is not what this is talking about. It's talking about God, Jesus came to redeem you from that law that you could not keep, so that you might be able to be placed in your place as a mature son who can handle the inheritance, who can handle it, who will be faithful, who can utilize it. Now, we're not adopted as sons of God. And I know compared to Israel, God, they were the God's chosen people, and the Gentiles were grafted in. That's a different thing. We're not adopted sons of God when we're born again. Adopted would mean we don't have the same DNA. Adopted would mean we don't have the same blood. We are born of His Spirit by the same blood of Jesus. We are one blood in Jesus Christ. We're not secondary citizens, adopted children. Well, you know, you're adopted. You're not really part of me. You're not really kin to me. No, we have His same Spirit, same blood. So this, I'm trying to point out to you the point of me saying this because you don't get messed up with that word adoption. No, it's talking about being placed as a mature son in your place to be able to enjoy all the inheritance and have access to all the inheritance now so that you can do what God's called you to do. Now you need this inheritance. You can't do it without this inheritance. But you have to be a mature son. You can't stay immature. You can't stay a baby and have access to all this. As a baby, you don't even know you have it. You don't even know about the kingdom. All you think of, well, I've got saved, so I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Do you think that's all there is? If that were all there is, then God would have come and picked you up on a bus and taken you home that day. He wouldn't let you stay down here in this troubled world. He just said, come on, go to heaven. You're saved, go on to heaven. He left you here because He wants you to be a bright and shining light, and He wants you to walk around with your inheritance as a king, as a queen, and rule and reign in this earth and take dominion over this earth and show people another Jesus. You. You. Jesus is alive. And here's where the Jesus, when He came, He lived on this earth in a time, you have to understand, in a time of transition. Jesus was born under the law. Therefore, He had to keep the law of God. He was born under the old covenant. He had to keep the old covenant. In fact, He's the only one that ever kept the old covenant. So when Jesus came, He came to redeem us from the law of God that no one but Jesus was able to keep. So He had to live under that law. He had to fulfill that law. And during the time when Jesus was on the earth for 33 years, the earth and everything in it was in a time of transition. It was transitioning from the old covenant to the new covenant. But Jesus was born under the law. Most of his life he lived under the law and he kept it perfectly. But it's clear from Scripture he came to start a new covenant. Hebrews 8, verse 6 and 7, he, Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant. Hallelujah. Which was established on better promises. Hallelujah. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no occasion would have been sought to finding a second. It was faultless and that no man could keep it. Not that there was any error in it, because it came from God. So Jesus came to start a new covenant. But it didn't start the day he was born. It didn't start when he was born in Bethlehem. He was in transition. It was transition time. There's still the old covenant. Jesus lived under the old covenant. And here's where people in church, in our church, in our lifetime, in churches, get confused. People get confused because they have one foot in the old covenant and one foot in the new covenant. And they're confused about a lot of things, and rightfully so. They're trying to keep the old way of thinking and trying to transition into the new. How long are you going to be able to walk around like this? I don't dare take the next step, but you become bound. You become religious. You become confused. Because now you believe in grace. Oh, yeah, I believe in grace. But you're also trying to add legalism to it. Yeah, I know I'm into grace, but I got to keep the Sabbath. And, you know, I got to keep the feast. And No. You don't have to do anything once you're born again in grace. Because it wasn't your doing anyway that got you saved. The same way you got saved is the same way you live out your life. By grace through faith. So we have to ask ourselves the question, well, where in the Bible does the Old Covenant end and the New Testament begin? A lot of you right now, if I'd ask you that, you would say, well, it started in the Gospels. It started right there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'd say, no, Jesus was born under the law. When he was born of a virgin, he was born under the law. When he's a little boy at the temple, confusing all the professors there, he was still under the law. Where did it change? A lot of things Jesus even spoke about confused people because he was still under the law. Jesus said that the law and the prophets will continue until the time of John the Baptist. And then he said, since that time, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. When Jesus came, he was still under the law, but he started introducing people to the kingdom. Which totally re-examined and really set a whole new understanding on what the kingdom is and how different it is from trying to live under the law. Jesus would go on like in the Sermon on the Mount. He would say, now you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not steal. But I say unto you, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's already committed adultery. Well, boy, that opens some eyes up. Yeah. We never heard anything like that before. The transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. The new covenant meant new thinking, new ways, new values, a new self, a new man. My opinion, I don't want anybody to argue with me about this. You can have your opinion. My opinion, where the new covenant began and the Old Testament ends and the new Testament begins is in these particular points of the gospel. Matthew 27, verse 50. Verse 50 ends the old. When Jesus cried, "It's finished," lifted up, "My spirit I commend unto you." And then the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Supernaturally, no man could do this. God was saying, "We're done with the old and we're in with the new." This is the beginning of the new covenant from that moment on. And there's different places in your, in all the scriptures where these things take place. When the veil was rent, God was saying, "The old is over. Now you have bold access to me. You don't have to go through a high priest. You don't have to bring a sacrifice. My son is the sacrifice. It's finished. It's done. You have access now. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You have access. You have access to all that my son won for you." Hebrews 8:15 says, "For this reason, he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant. Since a death has occurred for the redemption of sins that were committed under the first covenant," you were under the law of sin and death, "so that those who are called," are you called? "Might receive the promise of," what's that last word? Not just eternal life, eternal inheritance. This brought about the kingdom. "Now it's my good pleasure, children, to give you the kingdom." You couldn't give it before. Not until someone had to die. Because someone has to die before you can get your inheritance. Makes me think about stories you heard about people, you know, especially up in the country area, hillbilly area. They'll say, "You know, my grandparents used to sit around the porch and talk about everybody who died, you know." They'd say, "Well, you know, old Billy Bob down there, you know, he died." And then you'll say the dumbest question you'll ever hear. You'll hear someone say, "Old Billy Bob down there, he passed away." And they'll say, "Did he die? He just told you he passed away. Did he die?" And you just want somebody to say, "No, we got tired of waiting, so we went ahead and had his funeral and buried him anyway." So there you go. No charge. So for you to receive your placement as a mature son of God in his kingdom now, it's vital for you to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and have all the experiences he wants you to have, to be in the right place at the right time, have encounters with God that he wants you to have, so you'll not continue to live down here on the lower level of the earth like lost people who just are nice people because you're Christians. You have supernatural kingdom, power, inheritance waiting for you to pick up and use because you need it. Bible knowledge is not enough to empower you. You've got to have encounters to go with it. You've got to have experience with God. You mature in the Spirit when his kingdom clashes with some kingdom of the world down here. And we have trouble. We have tribulation. That's where you mature in the Spirit. My brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. I have yet to hear anybody starting to encounter a trial saying, "Woohoo, I've got a trial." But if we had eyes to see and the understanding of Jesus, boy, we'd be excited about God's about to reveal something to me that I didn't know. I'm about to receive a part of my inheritance that I have not yet received. You're going to learn how to say no to the flesh. You're going to learn how to overcome things. Because things that are holding you in an immature lifestyle, they're holding you back from your inheritance. There's more for your life than you get saved and just stay here and be a nice person until you go to heaven. Many of you have ministries that you have never stepped into yet. Many of you have callings that you have never stepped into yet. Because you haven't taken the first baby steps that God needed you to take. See, one of the evidences of transforming, you know you're changing and you know you're maturing in the spirit is your perception becomes like God's perception. You're transforming and maturing in the spirit. Next slide, please. You're maturing and transforming into the spirit when you see these things happening. You start to perceive things the way God perceives them. You look at trials differently. Look at trouble differently. Your mindset becomes the mind of Christ. You start to think like Christ does. Your language begins to talk like God. You don't talk the negative. You don't complain. You don't whine. Because you already know you've had tremendous experience with knowing that God somehow, mysteriously, wonderfully in you, will show you the goodness of God in this trial. And all things work together for good for them that love God, according to his purpose. So you just don't fret. You don't worry. You don't panic. Like everybody. You become like Jesus. His joy becomes your joy. His peace becomes your peace. And you actually experience that in the trials. Wow. This is not behavior modification. This isn't you just trying to be a good Christian. It happens automatically, supernaturally, out of your abiding relationship and your day-to-day walk with the Lord. And you're going to be astounded. You're going to be amazed. You don't blow up like you used to blow up. You don't cuss that person out like you used to cuss them out. You don't drive like a maniac like you used to drive like a maniac. I'm just looking at here for you. Don't get upset when they say, hey, we're going to take up a special offering today at church. You don't get upset about it and say, oh, all they ever wants your money. We're learning, you know, freedom is really huge with God. This church was birthed based upon a concept of freedom that I honestly didn't have any idea of understanding what he was talking about. I honestly didn't. I'm growing in that. But freedom is huge with God. He's bringing us out of religion because religion's about rules. Religion's about self-effort. Religion's about a performance. Religion's about trying hard. Religion's about fear of failure. In religion, you've got to earn blessings from God. In religion, you get enslaved to a performance mindset. You got to perform right in order to be accepted. That's what religion does to you. But when you get free from that, when the truth sets you free from that, it is you come into a way of salvation like you're meant to live. And notice at the end of, you don't have to go there now, but at the end of the list of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You can't produce it. It's supernatural. We're learning how to abide in the grace that's been freely given to us. What's the requirement then? The law of love. The law of love. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And so when you're in a situation, you should be asking, well, how does love respond to this? Push the pause button of self-control, which God gave you, and before you react, just go back in and say, now Lord, how does your love respond to this knucklehead? How does your love respond to this delay of traffic? How does your love? If you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you got to focus on one thing, loving God. And then loving people with the same love with which you've received love from Him to love them. You're not giving something away that you haven't been given yourself. You've been given abundance of love. You've been given abundance of mercy. You've been given abundance of forgiveness. So it shouldn't be hard to give it away when you run across these other people that maybe haven't discovered that yet. And if you walk with God in His love, the fruit of the Spirit will manifest in your life abundantly. And you will begin to enjoy your inheritance now. Like God intended. You won't get to heaven and say, Boy, I needed what I have up here. I needed it down there. If I'd have had what I have up here down there, I'd have been really good, God. I would have had a tremendous ministry. I'd have done more. I'd have been an overcomer. And he said, well, I gave it to you down there. You just didn't receive it. Or you didn't mature to where you recognized it's available now. Right now, I'm talking to three groups of people. There may be someone here who's lost. That means you're separated from God. You've not had that spiritual union being born again. You need to be saved. That's what the Bible says. You need to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not just say the words, but call upon in faith and believing, agreeing with God. Jesus died for you. In your place. He's the Lamb of God. The sacrifice that takes away your sins forever. Being a Christian is not behavior modification. It's being born supernaturally of God. Only God can do this. And he says, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you confess, that means agree with me, God, what I said about him, that Jesus is Lord over all, he said, you'll be saved. You can do that right now. And you should. If you need help with that, altar workers, you come up here and stand with me. In a moment, you can come up here and talk to one of these people or talk to me. We'll be glad to help you. Altar workers, come on, come on, come on. Come on up. Thank you, thank you. Any one of these wonderful people up here are highly qualified. They've had experience with God. They've been born of the Spirit. They know what it takes. They know how to walk you right into the throne room of God. They're also qualified to help you with other things. They can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Miracle signs and wonders operate through their lives because they've received their inheritance. And when you received an abundance, you got an abundance to give out. Amen. There's a second group of people here I'm talking to, probably the majority. You're saved. You're Christian. You know you're going to heaven. But you also know you're not really enjoying much of an inheritance. Maybe today you didn't realize it until today. Maybe you're stuck in religion. Maybe you've been trying hard to live a Christian life. Quit it. You can't do it. You're forfeiting your inheritance. Your inheritance is received by faith. The same way you got saved is the same way you receive your inheritance, by grace through faith. In fact, that's the way you receive everything from God. You're healing from God. That's how you receive. You don't get healing from God for begging. You go up to him and say, Father, you've already provided this. By your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. By your stripes, I am healed. I don't understand it, but I believe you. And the same way I got saved is the same way I get healed. I believe and start confessing. Your language changes. You start saying the same things that God says. You start enjoying your inheritance. And then there's a third group of people that are here that are saved and right now enjoying the journey. You enjoy the adventure. You wake up every day thinking, wow, Lord, it's exciting. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? I can't wait for you to unpack some of more of my inheritance for me. I want to learn more about this joy. I want to experience more of this supernatural peace. Thank you, God. I got so much. I can't wait to meet people that you are going to cross my path with that I can give away some of my inheritance. Giving away a $100 bill, a $1,000 bill, whatever, is nothing in comparison to give away the peace that passes all understanding. Nothing in comparison to give the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. That'll break every yoke and bust open depression. Let's all stand together. There's some of you here, you're saved and you're enjoying your inheritance and walking by the Spirit. Praise God. Three groups of people, lost, need to be born again. Second, you're saved, but you're not enjoying your inheritance. Third, you are saved and you are walking in it right now. Let me ask you a question. Which one are you? One of those three. Which one are you? I don't know how in the world you could walk out of here and stay the same way after hearing the truth from God's word about where he wants you to go. He's saying, come on, child, come on up here with me. I got some things I want to show you, things I want you to have, things that you have not walked and stepped into yet. I got a life for you of adventure. I have a ministry for you I want you to enjoy. I have an anointing for you. It's going to carry you around the world. Maybe you have an anointing to write books. Maybe you have an anointing to preach sermons. Maybe you're anointed to preach an event. Maybe you're anointed to stay right here and be a missionary to the villages. Maybe you're anointed to be right here and start teaching the Bible in such a way that people have never heard it like that way before. And they'll come to you because God's anointing's upon you. I don't know what it is that God has for you, but he's got something better than what you have right now. If you'll step into it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for giving me unction and anointing to preach this morning, and your word will not return void. Lord, I trust you for that. I ask you for supernatural increase in everybody's life, including my own. I ask you, God, Holy Spirit, mentor us. Those that are still immature babies spiritually, I'm not speaking down to them, but I ask you, God, to help them to sense the urgency. It's time to grow up. It's time to put away childish things. It's time to put away childish talk, childish thinking. It's time to mature. Even if they cry out and say, I need help, Lord, I pray that when they come to the altar and people lay hands on them, that they'll receive some kind of a fresh touch awareness that you are helping them. You are pleased with them because they desire the kingdom. They desire their inheritance. They're not going to leave this earth without enjoying the inheritance Jesus died for them to have now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For the lost, we pray, God, they'll have the urgency in their heart to come forward at this altar. Talk to me or one of these altar counselors and say, I need to be saved. Someone needs to be set free from demonic bondage. Give them the courage to come up here and just talk to one of our counselors and say that. Lord, you are the chain breaker, bondage breaker. You're the deliverer. There is no demon in hell that is more powerful than you. We declare freedom, and Jesus is here. And there is no cancer, there is no sickness that is higher than the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. This is a cancer-free zone. This is a sickness-free zone. This is a place of healing and restoration and health and life, a peace. You said it was a time for abundance. And we thank you. We thank you for it. We thank you for freedom. Thank you for truth that set us free this morning from religious bondage. Thank you, God. Thank you for the new covenant. Thank you for Jesus. Now look, if you prayed or you want to pray and receive Jesus, come on up here right now. Don't hesitate. Don't even wait till anybody else. You just come. In fact, if I were lost and I realized I was lost, and if I was up in the balcony, I'd get down and run down here as fast as I could to be saved. Don't be ashamed. Be thankful. God brought truth in your life to set you free. You need other prayer for anything whatsoever. God, I need my inheritance. Just come to the altar and talk to God about what you just heard. That's all you need to do. And let him take it from there. Amen. God bless you. Our first-time visitors, please stop by the front of the bookstore.